We're going to spend a lot of time tonight. We'll finally get to the verses that are in Ezekiel chapter 26. Got to lay some background. First of all, Ezekiel chapter 26 and thank you very much. David Lord just gave me a note. It has his name on it, and then it's written in Sanskrit, which is really good. I'm glad he's so educated, and I had Sanskrit down here in my notes. If it were not for Tyre and Sidon, we would all be writing in Sanskrit. This is just an astounding happening there. Now go ahead and put up that next slide, because that shows us where Tyre and Sidon is. Now, do you know where it is? Well, it's sort of on the map. I don't know if you can see the word Tyre that is up there. There is Sidon there. That whole area there is Phoenicia. All along the seacoast here is the ancient nation of Phoenicia. This body of water here is the Sea of Galilee. And if you come right out over from the Sea of Galilee, that's Mount Carmel, where Elijah had that contest with the prophets of Baal. Now we're going to back away. The map's going to push Tyre back down. It's going to fade back into the map. But we'll get to looking at this in just a moment. I hope you are aware of the divided kingdom. The divided kingdom is a kingdom that existed, and we're going to look at the Assyrian Empire map to point out several things. We're not going to point out. Go ahead and put that Assyrian map up if you would. Here is the map of Assyria. Right there is the capital city of Assyria, and that is the city of Nineveh. You remember God told Jonah to go preach to Nineveh, that the Lord was going to destroy Nineveh and destroy that great kingdom. But let's back up a little bit much, back up in history. Down in this area, down where you see the word Judah and the word Israel, is where the divided kingdoms were. As you look at Bible maps, you can get oriented if, as you look at a Bible map, you try to find the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee as the map gets larger and everything, and it'll give you an orientation. And so this map has, we were looking at Tyre and Sidon, and we've really, really dropped out. I believe that's where the word Tyre is, right up there in that area. You see Tyre and Sidon there. I can see it. Maybe you guys here on the front are able to see it, but if you're in the back, that is where it is. Just follow the green light and everything. Now, what we're talking about? Well, when the kingdom is divided, here's an important date. At least you need to roughly know that the kingdom divided somewhere. Well, it divided in 931 B.C. That's when Solomon died. So if you're trying to figure out when things happen in the Bible, we've talked to a little bit about that in Soldiers of Christ, the patriarchal age for 2,500 years, and then the Mosaical age for 1,500 years. Moses lives 1,500 B.C. David lives about 1,000 B.C. So David is on the throne. Solomon is on the throne. And when Solomon dies, the kingdom is divided. We're not going to spend much time at all talking about this, but we want to point out, and right there, written at an angle, is Syria. When the kingdom divides, there are two kingdoms that are really threatening to, especially the northern kingdom. One is Syria. It is immediately north of the divided kingdom. There's Judah, there's Israel, and there's Syria. But Nineveh becomes a power. It does not become a world power, but it is a tremendously important part of Bible history. And so whenever you're talking about, the falling of the northern kingdom fell in 722 B.C. Now, if you want to just round all of that out, David at 1,000 B.C., the divided kingdom about 900 B.C., and the end of the divided kingdom about 700 B.C. And that is particularly of the northern kingdom, and the end of the southern kingdom about 600 B.C. Now, I would encourage you to try to remember 931, 722, and 606 B.C. I would encourage you to remember those numbers. But it does give you some time span. In other words, 600 years before the birth of Christ, 600 B.C., that's Daniel over in Babylon. You go from that to the fall of the northern kingdom, 722 B.C., and that's when that northern kingdom ended. The southern kingdom ended about, well, began to fall in 605 B.C. And then you go all the way back to 931 when the kingdom was divided. But as you begin looking at that, you find the capital city of Nineveh, and there's Nineveh. Guess who Nineveh falls to? Nineveh falls to Babylon. And beginning with the ascendancy of Nebuchadnezzar's father. Nebuchadnezzar is first the general of his father's army, but all of a sudden, Assyria, and you can see the extent of the you can see the extent of the empire of the Assyrians. Way over here is Babylonia, and there's a great period of time when Nebuchadnezzar and his father and his son and his grandson causes that kingdom to reach a matter of dominance. And so about 605 BC, or 612 BC, Nebuchadnezzar leaves Babylon. General Nebuchadnezzar, soon to be King Nebuchadnezzar, General Nebuchadnezzar leaves Babylon and starts conquering the world. And it begins right up here at the city of Nineveh. Now, what Nebuchadnezzar is trying to do is to make the Babylonian kingdom extend all the way from the Medes and the Persians all the way down into Egypt and perhaps even into Ethiopia. That's what his plan is to make happen. And so about 612 B.C., Nineveh falls. He then leaves and heads over to a place. Go ahead and put that next slide up, if you would, to Tyre. This is not it's a different color map and everything. There's Babylon. Here's Nineveh up in this area. And so he comes over here to the city of Tyre, and that's what we want to look at tonight. And to talk about this prophecy that is made regarding Tyre. We'll be back here in just a minute, but let's talk about what happens when Nebuchadnezzar dies. When Nebuchadnezzar dies after the Jews have been 70 years in Babylon, so it would have been about 535 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, Babylon, falls to a combination of two nations, and that is the Medes and the Persians. Another way to describe the Persian nation is to call them the nation of Elam. Go ahead and look at that next power, and you have there what is called the Persian Empire. So Nebuchadnezzar falls. Here's Babylon in this area. Now look at the extent of this great, great kingdom. And so from 535 to 333 B.C., now that gets us outside of the historical records of even the Bible itself. We have secular history, and in prophecy in the book of Daniel, we have great detail about the fall of the Medes and the Persians, of the fall of Babylon, and of what would transpire after that. The Medes and the Persians come in and they destroy Babylon. And God said of Babylon, if we had time, we would look at that verse tonight, says it will never be inhabited again. He wiped out the most powerful city in the world, and the God of heaven said it will never be built again. If I say two names, some of you will recognize both of them. Young people, I hope you'll recognize at least one of these. One is the Shah of Iran. Remember him? He said, I'm going to rebuild Babylon. That's back in the 70s, early 70s. And young people, you don't have to remember that because you have no remembrance of that. What about Saddam Hussein? Does that name ring a bell? There's one for you. He said, I am going to rebuild Babylon. You know what happened to him? You remember him coming out of that hole in the ground over there and was killed there at that place? I'm going to rebuild Babylon. He wasn't able. God says when Babylon falls, it will never be inhabited. There's the handwriting on the wall in the latter chapters of, or in the middle, in the fifth chapter of Daniel. And at that time, Babylon, the glory of the Chaldees' excellency, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened after that? 333 BC, over in Greece, there is, and here's Greece all the way over here, there's Alexander the Great. He comes with a massive warring ability. And he comes and has dominance over the Medes and the Persians. He takes over all of their power. And so after you have the Babylonian period, you have the Medes and the Persian period, and that greatly impacts the Jews, because that's when Nehemiah and Esther and Ezra come back to rebuild the temple. That was while the Persians were reigning. And then all of a sudden, you get to the historical record of the Old Testament, but the Bible prophetically, in Daniel chapter 8, describes and names by name the Medes and the Persians as the one that would overthrow Babylon, and names by name the Greeks, and says there will be one king that comes out from his perspective from the west. And the Bible says he marches across the world and nobody is able to withstand him. Young people, get ready. He dies at the age of 33. So we expect great things out of you in the next 10 or 15 years of your life, because by the time he's about 30 years of age, his kingdom reaches all the way from Greece, all the way down into Egypt, and all the way over here, even as far as India. He was headed for China. And his army said, we're tired of fighting. And so instead of training a successor, he dies at about 33 years of age. And he says, let the strong rule. There was no strong person to rule. And the Bible says that when he dies, when that king from the east dies, that very kingdom will be divided into four kingdoms. You read Daniel 8 and you will be amazed if you read history about Alexander the Great and what happened. This was written in 600 BC about what was going to happen in about 330 BC. It's an amazing faith-building thing. Now then, the Greek influence is great, and that's why the New Testament is written in the Greek language. Common Greek, Koine Greek is the way to describe it. And so it's written in common Greek because the influence of the Greek world was they had one language, one universal language that almost everyone spoke. And so what comes out of that is the Roman Empire, but we're not going to go over into that. Let's get back to Tyre and Sidon. Let's get back to Ezekiel chapter 26, and let's look at what happens. Go ahead and put up the next slide. Here's that Babylonian power. Here's Alexander the Great from Babylon conquering the world, wanting to get down here to the land of Egypt, and he arrives at the city of Tyre. That's the Phoenician city. The sister city is Sidon. Tyre and Sidon, you read about them. And in that area, and you even read about them in the New Testament era, the Syro-Phoenician woman, you remember her that had such great faith? This is the only, in his adult life, the only foreign country Jesus ever visited, went up into that area. What do we know about that area? Well, let's look at that, and let's see Nebuchadnezzar as he comes. Look in Well, let me grab my Bible. Where did I put my Bible? Let me grab a Bible then. Look at the early verses of chapter Ezekiel chapter 26. Look at those early verses of Ezekiel chapter 26, and you have these words. It came to pass in the 11th year on the first day of the month. That's in chapter 26. The word of the Lord came unto me, reading in verse 2, Son of man, because Tyre has said against Jerusalem, Aha, she is broken, who was the gateway of the people. Now she's turned over to me, I shall be filled, she is laid waste. And so as Assyria was dominating the northern kingdom and then threatening Jerusalem, the Phoenicians, Tyre and Sidon, they said, Ha ha, now we can go down and we can be a part of the plundering. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am against you, O Tyre, and I will cause many nations to come up against you. Now, look down at verse 7. We'll come back to verse 3 in just a moment. When you get down to verse 7, For thus says the Lord God, I will bring against Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with his horses and with his chariots and with his horsemen and an army with many people. Got to understand, none of this has happened when Ezekiel writes this. None of this is happening. It is going to happen later, but you know, this is not happening right at that time. And he says, I am going to bring against Tyre using Nebuchadnezzar. And the I says, I will use him. He will slay the sword of your daughter villages. Evidently, not just slay your daughters, but these daughter villages. If you can imagine, here's the center of that city and their outlying areas. And so those are called daughter villages. And so I'm going to bring Nebuchadnezzar, and he will slay with the sword your daughter villages in the fields. He will heap up a siege mound against you, build a wall against you, and raise a defense against you. He will direct his battering rams against your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers. Guess how long it took him to do it? 12 years. All of that time that Nebuchadnezzar is coming back, you know, takes Daniel and then takes Ezekiel, and he comes back and makes three different raids. Guess what he's done? He's left his army against them. Look down in verse 10 when he says, Because of the abundance of his horses, their dust will cover you. Your walls will shake at the noise of his horsemen, the wagons and the chariots. When he enters your gates, as men enter a city that has been breached, with the hoofs of his horses he will trample all of your streets. He will slay your people by the sword, and your strong pillars will fall to the ground. Now that was going to happen in the lifetime of Ezekiel, and it's prophesied before it was ever going to happen. Nebuchadnezzar comes and lays siege against that city, but he is not successful, but he comes and finally he is able to come, and here's the city of Tyre, and destroy the city of Tyre. He's able to come and destroy the city of Tyre. He tears down the walls. He makes a breach of the city. Look at the next verse. Go ahead and put the next verse up. And it came to pass in the 27th year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, caused his army to labor strenuously against Tyre. Every head was made bald, and every shoulder rubbed raw. Why? It's taken 12 years. And finally, the wall is breached. Finally, he leads his army inside the city. What does he get? Well, when he comes inside the city, the people at Tyre, I might hit the wrong button again. Let me see if I can get back to where I want to be. I'll have to ask you to get there. You're getting me back to where I was. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to get. There we are. There's where I wanted to be. The people had gotten in their boats. They'd loaded up all of their silver and their gold. They knew the city was about to fall. They'd defended the city as long as they could. And now the city falls. And Nebuchadnezzar marches in and he's got nothing. He has taken no treasure from Tyre. They're in their boats. They've carried away all of their treasures. That's the amazing thing that happened. But the story does not end there, nor does it end. Nor does it end until we get to the time of Alexander the Great. We talked about him just a moment ago. And so Alexander the Great is a part of this story. And there's the verse that says, in the 27th month, Son of Man, King of Nebuchadnezzar, caused his army to labor against Tyre. Every head was made bald and every shoulder rubbed raw. Neither he nor his army received any wages from Tyre. Had devoted 12 years, imagine, 12 years trying to break down the walls, and finally you do it, and there's no treasure in the city. And so he says, they received no wages from Tyre, and this is where this Grecian world comes back into power. Alexander the Great marched all the way over into this area. He wanted to come down and conquer Egypt, and he was successful, but he came back to Tyre. You know why I came back to Tyre? Because the Lord said that was the kind of thing that was going to happen. Look at what is stated in verse 3. Thus says the Lord your God, I'm against you, O Tyre, and I will cause many nations to come against you like the waves of a sea. Living here in Florida, you know what that's like. It's just one after another, after another, after another, after another. So Nebuchadnezzar's destroyed it. But the Lord said, here's what's going to happen. Not Nebuchadnezzar, that's mentioned a little bit later, but having mentioned the many nations, all of a sudden it's not he, Nebuchadnezzar, it is they. The many nations shall destroy the walls, and that would include Nebuchadnezzar as a part of that, break down her towers. The Lord says, I will scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. It'll be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. God said, I have spoken that, says the Lord God. It shall become the plunder for many nations. Plunder? Yeah. But it didn't happen all at once because, you see, they'd taken all of their treasures. Also her daughter villages, which are in the field, shall be slain by the sword. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. They will plunder your riches and pillage your merchandise. They will break down your walls and destroy your pleasant house. Now watch this. They will lay your stones and your timbers and your soil in the midst of the water. Tyre, you're going to fall. You know what's going to happen to those stones and those timbers and the soil that is there? They're going to put them in the water. They're going to lay them in the waters, and I'll put an end to your songs and the sound of your harps. I will make you like the top of a rock. You shall be a place where you spread your fishing nets to dry out, and you shall never be rebuilt. What happened? Well, let's look at the historical part of it. Nebuchadnezzar comes with his army. You know what the Phoenicians have done? There's an island that is offshore. And so after Nebuchadnezzar had come and plundered the city and had abandoned his siege of the city, they came back and rebuilt the city of Tyre. but not where Tyre was. They built it on an offshore island. Alexander the Great, how are you going to take that place? Nebuchadnezzar took 12 years. Alexander did exactly what the text said that he would do. You see, they will lay your stones and your timbers and your soils in the midst of the water. And Alexander the Great came back, and here's all of the spoils of the city. There's the island. How are you going to get over to that island? He literally took the very stones of the walls that Nebuchadnezzar had torn down. He literally took what timbers might have survived from that. And even the dirt from that surrounding area, and they built a bridge, a causeway. And now Alexander the Great was able to come out and destroy that city. You want your faith to be... You know why, young people? You know why you trust the Bible? The very stones that were part of that city were literally thrown into the water, and that is exactly what the text said would happen. The ruins of that city were cast into the water. It does not say Nebuchadnezzar will do it. It is they will do it. You know who the they is? It's the many nations that came to plunder them. And guess what? Tyre does not exist. The Lord said it'll never be inhabited. Not the Tyre on the island, but the Tyre that Nebuchadnezzar knew and said it'll be destroyed, and the ruins of that city will be thrown into the sea. And what will remain of Tyre is a place that is for the spreading of nets. That is remarkable, isn't it? But the story does not end there. The story does not end there. Because you see, Nebuchadnezzar, let's get back to that next slide. There's the causeway. And there is the statement where the Lord, and we looked at these verses a moment ago, verse 17 and 18, where the Lord said, in the 27th year, Son of Man, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, caused his army to labor strenuously against Tyre. Every head was made bald and every shoulder rubbed raw. Yet neither he nor his army received wages from Tyre for the labor which they had expended on it. Therefore, God, what are you going to do? You were sent by God to destroy Tyre. And the Lord said, I never paid you for it. Therefore, God says, thus says the Lord God, I will give the land of Egypt to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He shall take away her wealth, carry off her spoil, and remove her pillage, and that will be his wages for his army. I have given him the land of Egypt for his labor because he worked for me, says the Lord God. Isn't that amazing? Does that build your faith? Can the Bible be trusted? We write history after it happens. God knows the end from the beginning. And so God looked down at the world and he said, here is something that needs to happen on this earth. Tyre, you have laughed and were part of plundering of Jerusalem. You were a part of that, and I'm going to destroy you as a nation. And the mighty Phoenician nation ceased to be that power. We mentioned the matter of Sanskrit. Guess what alphabet we use? And guess where it came from? You know where ABC comes from? It's a part of our English language. You've got the equivalent language, equivalent letters in Spanish. You've got it in French. You've got it in all of the European nations. Where did that alphabet come from? What did the Egyptians write in? Hieroglyphics? You know, what did the Jews write in? Something that looks like chicken scratchings. What about the Muslim writing? What about the Japanese writing? Are you aware that we owe to this Phoenician nation a great, great debt? In fact, if you look a little bit later in chapter 28, the Lord talks about this. I believe it's in the latter part of chapter 28. Or is that chapter 29? I don't have my own text, and so I'll have to look at this. Look down in chapter 29, and you'll read about what's going to happen. Beginning in verse 17 of chapter 29, in the 27th year, the first month of the year, the Lord said, I will, in verse 19, will give the land of Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar. And that is exactly what will happen. The Lord says, Egypt is going to fall. And that's going to be the wages that I'm going to give Egypt at that time. And so Nebuchadnezzar was the individual, the tool in the hand of God to punish Babylon. But he got no wages for it. Destroyed their power. Wiped out their nation, at least where it originally was sitting. And then Alexander the Great came along and threw the ruins of that city into the sea. Isn't that remarkable? Are you aware that God rules in this world? You've got to get that in your heart and in your soul. Daniel was told in Daniel chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar, here's something you've got to learn. The Most High rules in the affairs of men. And the Most High gives the kingdom to whoever He wants to have it. Are you aware that Assyria was used by God to destroy that northern kingdom? We talked about that. Look in Isaiah chapter 10. In Isaiah chapter 10, and now we're going back to 750 BC, to the time of Isaiah, to that time when Assyria was coming down and about ready to destroy the northern kingdom. The Lord says, in reference to that arrogant kingdom of Assyria, verse 5, woe to Assyria. You've got the old King James. It's not the nation Assyria. It is the Assyrian. Talking about the king. The Assyrian, the rod of my anger and the staff in whose hand is my indignation. I will send him against an ungodly nation. Who did the Assyrians come against? They came against the Jews. The Jewish nation, when the kingdom was divided, how many kings did they have in that southern kingdom? 19. How many in the northern kingdom? 19. How many righteous, godly kings were there in that southern kingdom? 4. How many righteous kings in that northern kingdom? 0. And God said, but woe to this Assyrian. He is the rod of my anger, the staff in whose hand. I am going to send him against an ungodly nation and against the people that I'm angry with, the people of my wrath. I will give him charge to seize the spoil, to take the prey, and tread them down like mire in the street. Yet he's not aware of it. He's not understanding that he is doing this for me. Look at verse 7. Yet he does not mean so, nor does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off not a few nations. For he says, and then he talks about the greatness of his kingdom and all that he had transpired. He was the rod in God's hand to destroy the northern kingdom. Why? It's the nature of God. You know, Galatians, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. The northern kingdom has left God, and the rod in God's hand is Assyria. And he's not even aware of it. He's the rod in my hand. He's my sword to come against that nation, and he's not even aware of it. Wait a minute. What about Nebuchadnezzar? Are you aware that the Bible describes Nebuchadnezzar as the servant of God, even though he doesn't believe in God? Why? Because Nebuchadnezzar, like Assyria was, Babylon was the sword in God's hand to punish the southern kingdom. The Most High rules in the affairs of men. I love the fact that on the physical level, man reaps what he sows. Nebuchadnezzar, the rod in God's hand, worked for 12 years to do God's will to destroy Tyre. But he reaped nothing for doing it. And so you know what the Lord did? He let Nebuchadnezzar come down and not only destroy Jerusalem, but to go down and to plunder all of the treasures of Egypt. Why? As wages for doing God's will in destroying Tyre. I want to tell you something. God always pays his wages. It's funny, if it were not for this one verse that says God paid the wages for Nebuchadnezzar and for his army for what he had done, we never would have been aware of it. But God says, let me pull back the curtain. Let me give you a glimpse into what's happening on this earth. And you and I need to understand that the Lord is in charge of this world. Now, if the Lord is concerned about that Assyrian king who doesn't even believe in God, if he's concerned about Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed the most holy place on earth and took the temple treasures back to Babylon, is God concerned about you? That's amazing, isn't it? You know this verse, and we'll stop with this passage. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Is that you? God pulls back the curtain long enough to let us see him working in the nations and working in world history. You'd never know it unless God told you that he was doing it. So don't try to go out and figure how the Lord's working in world history in our own day. And, you know, no one knows the future save God, but he already knows the end of it from the beginning. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Let me challenge you to do something. Think about it. Put your name in that verse. I'll put my name in there, but as I quote this verse, you put your name where I'm going to put my name. The eyes of the Lord over Dan, and his ears are open to Dan's prayers. He opens the curtain wide open and said, I take care of the birds, and you're worth a whole lot more than a bird. And my eyes are over you and open to your prayers. Let's put our lives in the hands of God. But I think it's a remarkable study. I think it's faith building to see what happened to those stones and that timber. And God prophesied it was all going to happen. Thank you very much for coming tonight.